Okay, could you just say your name?
Deidre Abood.
Okay, and can you hear me okay?
I can.
Okay, so Deidre, for those who do not know you or maybe who haven't heard of you or don't know that much about you, I know that you're an attorney. Tell us a little bit more about your background and if you could segue a little bit into why you've decided to run for the U.S. Senate.
I am originally from Arkansas. I was the youngest daughter, four girls, raised by a single parent. I moved to Arizona in 1998 because I came here for vacation with my mom and fell in love with it. I have worked in nonprofits. I have been a civil rights and social justice advocate for 15 years all over Arizona, bringing marginalized groups together to work on discrimination problems and other things. And also became an attorney, immigration and estate planning here in Scottsdale, Arizona. And in 2016, I noticed that the conversations had sunk to such a level, and certain comments about marginalized communities were suddenly acceptable and glorified. And I said, you know what? I need to get out there and help with these conversations. Talk about what really, really matters. Usually people run for political office and they just talk about nice things or bash their opponents, but don't talk about the real issues and actually don't get out and talk to real people. So I decided to raise the expectation, run for U.S. Senate, a statewide office that I was qualified for, and actually cover all 15 counties, plus many of the Native American areas, and really talk about the issues and give real solutions and have a detailed website, have an active social media, be available, transparent, and accountable.
Now, a lot of candidates head into maybe a first-time race, and they're excited about meeting people around the state of Arizona. You announced this run for Senate a little over a year ago, before even Senator Flake had said he would not seek re-election. You got some negative response because of your faith at a time when anti-Muslim rhetoric was kind of spiking. So you've campaigned for about a year now. How have things changed or remained the same on that front for you?
You know, it's really been great. I mean, a lot of people who felt powerful or empowered even, to attack people, whether they were Muslim or people of color or immigrants, they really have a platform now. And that's a reality whether you're running for office or not. But I knew that I could get out, I could stand up to this hate, and I could show a different perspective, not just against the hate, but also to empower people who also want to stand up against the hate. And though we had an influx, especially on social media last year, you know, we weathered the storm. We stood up to it. We said, no, we're not backing down. We're American, too. You don't get to decide who we are. We get to decide who we are. And we can be strong and stand up against you. We also had some nationalist patriots come to some of our events. We welcomed them. We did not turn them away. We engaged. We de-escalated. We showed that we could be strong and respectful whether they were or not. So now, you know, people really would rather focus on the policies and what we can do and what we can do together. So there's definitely been a change.
Well, that's the hope. But in Michigan this week, national media reporting this morning that Democratic Representative Debbie Dingell seemed to suggest that a candidate in the Democratic primary for governor there, Abdul El-Sayed, though he's a great guy, she said, and a great candidate, he would have trouble winning because he's a Muslim. Your reaction to that from established Democratic leadership?
My reaction to that is Democrats are supposed to be the party of inclusion. We're supposed to be the big tent. If marginalized communities cannot depend on the Democratic Party and the Democratic leadership, then we need to rethink who we are. Because if it's Muslims today, it'll be Black tomorrow, it'll be Latinx the next day. This is not acceptable from any leader of the United States. I don't care what party, but particularly the Democratic Party, who says continuously, who our platforms say continuously that we stand up for our people. And if we can't stand up for our people in the hard times, then it doesn't matter if we say that we stand up for them in the easy times.
That's a nice segue because AZ Central and some other publications have touted your legal background and your faith, saying it gives you your voice greater resonance on issues like immigration and civil rights, on issues of religion and freedom of expression. Does that resonate for you as well?
I believe that being an attorney and being a member of a group that has sometimes been targeted, that it does give me a perspective. But I think that anybody can have empathy and common sense and see that when your neighbors are attacked, when your neighbors are disparaged, that you have a responsibility to stand up and say no. Because historically, too many times bad things have happened because our neighbors did not stand up and say no. Now is one of those times. We are at a crossroads. We have a choice to make.
Draw a distinction between yourself and the leading candidate in this Democratic primary, Kyrsten Sinema. What do you bring to the race that she doesn't? And in particular, on the issue of immigration, a lot of people criticizing Sinema for being fairly silent during a contentious period on the immigration front.
It is unacceptable in 2018 that because of politics, a person in a leadership position cannot speak out about kids in cages. We keep hearing about separated families, and that's true, but that's been part of immigration for years. Children in cages is new. Children in cages should surpass any political idea, any political party. And if you can't put aside your political aspirations to stand up against an administration who's choosing to put children in cages in the United States of America in 2018, then I don't know when you will stand up for what's going on.
There's a new survey out today from the AARP and Politico of Arizonans 50 and over, and it shows that their biggest concern and fear is not having health care. I know that you have touted a plan for health care for all. Speak a little to that issue.
Every industrialized country in the world, including capitalist countries, have figured out how to make sure that every single person in their country can have health care, that they can actually go to the doctor without losing their job or going homeless, that they can afford to pay for it. Every industrialized country has figured that out. We used to be the country that could. We used to be the country that made sure that we had the best infrastructure and the best technology. I will not accept that we are now the country that can't. People are dying. We are becoming a GoFundMe healthcare system, and our healthcare system is completely based on profit, making people commodities instead of health. We need to rethink our priorities and stop allowing our family, friends, and neighbors to die because they can't afford their medication or their doctor bills.
I want to ask you.
We can do it. Everybody else has.
I want to ask you a little bit about some news of the day, but I did want to mention a little bit about, or ask a little bit about Yuma sort of centric issues. Here we are at the basically end of the United States version of the Colorado River. Water, obviously an important resource for the state of Arizona, for its future. You talk a little bit on your website about protecting the environment and managing public lands, but could you speak a little bit about the issue that that seems to resonate a great deal here in Southwest Arizona, and that's water?
We live in a desert. The fact that we don't have a long-term plan to make sure that we have water is borderline crazy. I just can't imagine how you have people in leadership on all levels, state, city, and federal, who cannot see that the fact that we live in a desert, we have very limited water, and we need a plan to preserve water and to make sure we always have clean water. So making sure that companies are not contaminating our water, making sure companies like Nestle are not getting our water for a buck, and then we have to conserve because they need to make a profit. There is absolutely no reason why we're not considering this long term. This is a problem today, and it's only going to get worse.
As a candidate, as a U.S. senator, you would be responsible for sort of keeping an eye on the executive branch. Can I get your reaction to President Trump's meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin this weekend? What concerns you, and what do you think voters should be paying attention to?
Cybersecurity was a problem before 2016. We have known that because we have had massive amounts of identity theft through cyber attacks. It has been said for years by every single intelligence agency that cyber attacks are going to become the new terrorism. Cyber attacks are something that we have to address, and something that this administration has actually been talking about not doing, reorganizing our cybersecurity so that it is not funded to actually do what it needs to do. Foreign governments, including our own, spy on other governments. Foreign governments, including our own, do interfere in the politics of their other governments. And nobody should be living in the illusion that someone is an ally or not an ally, and they're just going to be nice guys and not interfere or spy on us. We've got to have cybersecurity and national security, and we've got to be intelligent. You can definitely have allies, but allies also spy and interfere in politics. So the statements that were made in Russia were extremely concerning, that all of a sudden it sounded like Russia was our friend, therefore they would never do anything to spy on us or hurt our political process. And that isn't even true of our true allies.
So we've got about a minute left. Deidre Abboud, candidate for U.S. Senate, make your case for why you're the best candidate to be in the U.S. Senate representing the state of Arizona.
It is time for accountability, accessibility, and transparency. I have signed contracts such as candidates with a contract that I will not take corporate PAC or special interest money. We got to get the money out. We've got to dismantle Citizens United. I want voters to meet me, question me, and give me the opportunity to answer their questions. And I expect this office, somebody who's running for U.S. Senate should visit every single county in this state, because we live in the state of Arizona, not the state of Maricopa.
All right, that's Deidre Abboud, Democratic candidate for U.S. Senate. Thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.
All right, we're good to go. That's a 12 minutes, 13. I'm so proud of myself for, for not going. I can talk to you all forever. But I appreciate your time. Next time you're in town, please let us know. We would love to have you in studio, or at least meet up with you as you meet with voters and get you on the air again.
Okay. Thank
all right.
you so much.
You bet. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.